You know, the part that stuck with me was not the AGI talk, it was the 10 times compute number.
Right.
This idea that we go from roughly 10 million H100 equivalents in early 2025 to 100 million by the end of 2027, that is a wild curve to just drop in a supplement.
Yeah, and it's not just fives either. Romeo actually decomposes it into chip efficiency and chip production, something like 1.35 times from better performance density per die, and 1.65 times from more total AI chip area shipped each year.
So you end up at roughly 2.25x global AI relevant compute per year, compounded, and suddenly you've got this 100 million H100 equivalent stock sloshing around the world.
Exactly. And he's explicit about what counts. Anything that can hit at least 4,000 total processing performance and a performance density of 4 or above, basically anything at least a quarter as efficient as an A100, gets counted as AI-relevant compute, then normalized into H100 equivalents using that 15,800 TPP number.
I do like the H100 equivalent move. It's at least a common ruler. Instead of pretending every accelerator is interchangeable just because it runs PyTorch.
Yeah, where it starts to lean more speculative is how that pool gets sliced between actors.
The concentration bit.
Right. He has the leading AGI style lab going from roughly 5 to 10% of the global pool in 2024, about 500,000 H100 equivalents, to 15 to 20% by late 2027, which is like 20 million H100 equivalents. That's a 40 times jump for the top lab when you combine the global growth and the share grab.
And he's assuming the top two or three AGI players all triple their share, while the rest of the world kind of grows but gets relatively squeezed.
Yeah, technically that's not impossible. If you believe a $1 trillion data center CapEx line and really aggressive foundry ramps, 20 million H100 equivalents in one org is within the outer edge of plausible.
From a product lens, if even half of that lands, that's still a world where a couple of labs sit on this absurd amount of capability. And then the question is, how much of that is actually pointed at stuff normal users touch?
Which is where his usage breakdown is interesting. He's pretty explicit that by 2027, the main story is not pre-training the next giant model or serving consumer traffic. It's research automation.
Yeah, that open brain chart where external deployment plus core training is only like 40% of their compute, and most of the rest is synthetic data generation and research experiments.
He has synthetic data of roughly 20% of the budget, research experiments at 35%, and then a pretty small sliver, 5 to 10%, for actually running AI assistants. But those slices are all more than 20 times bigger in absolute compute than in 2024, because the whole pie is bigger.
So the picture is the public product is this thin veneer on top of a massive internal machine that's mostly using agents to do research on more agents. My only like small like texture reaction here is I spent half this week staring at a Grafana board, just trying to figure out where one mid-sized customer's inference spend went. So reading a forecast where someone casually allocates 10 gigawatts to research experiments felt aspirational.
10 gigawatts, as in this one company, is using almost 1% of US power capacity. Aspirational.
Yeah, that Section 5 summary where AI globally is at 60 gigawatts, 50 of those in the US, roughly 3.5% of US grid capacity by 2027. That's where my product optimism starts coughing a little.
Same. The CapEx numbers, like $2 trillion globally and $400 billion a year in spend, you can at least map to today's hyperscaler trajectories and say, all right, maybe if everything breaks in favor of AI. But the grid share is where you run into really boring constraints, like substation permits and transformers.
And local politics, we are absolutely not talking about on Exploring Next.
Correct. We're just two people arguing about chips on a fake couch.
Okay, so where do you land on the million superfast research agents bit? The Section 4 claim that with algorithmic efficiency, they can run about a million copies of superintelligent AIs at 50 times human thinking speed on just 6% of their compute.
That's the part that feels the most like scenario fiction. He switches from TPP to memory bandwidth for that section, which is good, but a million concurrent copies at 500 words per second each means you're moving truly ridiculous amounts of data through those inference chips.
So your skepticism is more systems level than models won't be that smart?
Yeah, you run into topology, network fabric, storage, even just debugging. I can believe a world where they have a huge internal fleet of agents helping with experiments. I'm less convinced the exact 1 million and 50 times human speed for 6% of the budget line is anything more than a neat point on a chart.
But directionally, you're not fighting him.
No. Directionally, I agree that a growing share of top-end compute is going to be pointed at AI, doing R&D on AI, not at consumer chat, and that the bottlenecks become power and scheduling, not just how many H100s you bought.
From my side, the useful takeaway is not AGI in 2027. It's if even the conservative half of these curves are right, the people who own the schedulers and the power contracts are going to decide what gets researched and what ships.
Right, and that loops back to our whole infrastructure as load-bearing thing from this same episode number. The boring parts, who allocates which slice of those 20 million H100 equivalents, who sets priorities between research agents and user traffic. That's where the real leverage will sit.
And for everyone not named Open Brain, the practical move is probably much less glamorous. Assume the frontier labs hoard the crazy scale stuff and focus on how to turn the workhorse slice you can actually rent into stable products that don't fall over when someone else's research automation sprint kicks off.
Yeah, read the forecast less as a countdown clock and more as a stress test. If compute really does get 10 times cheaper and more abundant at the top, where does your own bottleneck move? Power, contracts, evals, data, or just people who know how to wrangle all of it?
All right, that's a good place to pause this before we start forecasting 2030. I'm calling it there, Ava.